Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
To the Alphabet Soup. This is John Bishop and Calvin Roberts on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
And surrounding areas.
We don't want to leave anyone else who might be listening to this show via the wonder of the internet or even the wireless, and it's reaching surrounding areas. There's a tagline on the station that says we're the voice of Liverpool, but we're not. We're the voice of the disenfranchised. We're the voice of those lost. We're the voice of those who have an early Saturday evening or a Sunday afternoon pondering what to do with their lives. They tune into this station. They listen to the wonderment that comes out of the mouths of myself and yourself. And we give them hope. Because if two like us can get on the radio...
Two idiots. That'll do.
It's a bleep.
This is a family show.
But if we can get on the radio, we're giving hope to millions who want to, who think that they've got a semblance of talent to offer. I'm sure they could probably do what we can do. Because let's be honest, it's a random ramshackle wonderment of pleasure that flows during the next hour. Is that not true, Mr. Roberts?
Very true, and you could probably even do it better. Who knows? But the fact is, Bish, that we're here, and we're here for a reason.
We're here for a reason. What's the reason?
I don't know.
We're here to count your winnings from Cheltenham.
Oh, don't even go there. I was in the car last week,
and somebody...
Listen, oi, first golden rule of radio, you don't talk over each other.
All right.
I'm trying to get a sentence out here.
Well, go on then.
It was horrific.
That's the sentence. I know, but I didn't want you to face up to your own demons. I was in the car last week at the start of Cheltenham, and somebody was talking about a bet that was on, a football-related bet, actually. And it was... somebody had phoned up this radio station, not ours, but it was a different one, and said that they got 350-1 on the English teams going through to the next round of the Champions League. Now, regardless of how the results panned out and all the rest of it, that's an amazing bet. And the people on the radio station say, that's an amazing bet. And I know everyone was like me who could see themselves paying the mortgage off with odds like that. Mm. And clearly, the fellow was making it up. The fellow was just making it up. But when you hear something like that, that's the problem with Cheltenham and all the rest of it, and all of these opportunities for you to print money, because no one goes thinking they're going to lose.
That's true. It's like the same philosophy you get when you buy a lottery ticket. You always think you're going to win the jackpot, and you never do.
But it's like the Euro Millions. When it was 85 million, I thought, I might give it a go. And I wasn't bothered when it was 26 million. What's anyone going to do with 26 million?
Exactly.
But 85 million, that's worth a couple of quid. And the Euro Lottery as well. I can't understand it. I can't understand the lottery anymore. The lottery used to be pick six numbers, you've won. Now it's the Lotto, the jackpot, the lucky jackpot, the star ball, the girls ball, the boys ball, the black ball, the white ball,
golden
the green ball.
Ball,
the golden ball. There's so many combinations you go in, and you've got to have a GCSE just to spend a pound. And then you get the Euro, which is more expensive, isn't it?
£1.50.
What's worse about that is now, because the strength of the euro as opposed to the strength of the pound, we really should be paying £2 instead of £1. We were paying £1.50 when a euro was worth £1.60. You want to think about that?
So you're saying we're getting a bargain here?
So I'm saying, as things stand now, the Euro Millions is worth the money. I used to do a show, I can't even remember the channel that it was on. I think it might have been Channel TV or something like that. And I used to do spots on it for the Euro Millions. Mm. And Nick Hancock used to host it. And we used to do this little... They used to put funny clips up about people from Europe. Like, oh, look at Dutch people racing in giant shoes along a river. And then you'd have to say funny things about it. And then you go, let's stop. We're going over now, live for the draw. It was the oddest... We'd all sit there going, what happens then? You know, if someone pulls the balls out, they come back. Oh, look, someone's won. It's odd. But they obviously, to save money, bombed us out. Because, you know, you can't be... there's no excitement. Not more exciting than an 85 million... Did someone win it, by the way? I'm rambling on. I don't even know if anyone won.
Which one? The Euros? Yeah. No, I don't even watch it. I don't even take part in it. Unless it's got four legs and a swishy tail, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Not my thing, really.
No.
You know what, apparently, is a good bet? Is the Irish Lotto. Now, the Irish Lotto...
It's called bingo.
No.
Hey, see what I did?
No. Now, the Irish Lotto, right, you pick three numbers, but you get something like odds of, like, 50 to 1 on getting three numbers up. It's quite a good bet, I believe. I haven't never done it. I mean, you know, not a betting man. But apparently that's what people do these days, and it's like run twice a day.
But that's it. When the
49s, I think it's called.
When the Irish, when the last time the Euro Millions went up to a massive number, it was won by a woman in Ireland, wasn't it?
Really?
When it was 74 million or something.
Ooh.
And she was in her 50s, and her husband had divorced her 3 years before. So she was that
typical. I bet there were his numbers as well.
Oh, she was that typical, you know, like, you're in your 50s, love, you're on yourself, nothing's going to happen. Then all of a sudden, she's got a line full of suitors, people trying to win her over, and her ex-husband go, well, you know, there you go. But that's it. Did you see that other thing in the paper this week, talking of that? The fella, the Swiss, Gigolo.
I've seen the headline about this, but I've never read it.
What a story! What a brilliant story! I wish I'd have brought the story. It was earlier on in the week. I wish I'd have brought the paper in, because it's a film. It's going to be a film. Definitely. You can see it all over. This fella, whose name I've forgotten, I apologise for forgetting the name, because I didn't bring the story in, but what happened, he's seduced numerous Germanic rich women. When I say Germanic, he's Swiss. He's a Swiss German. Yeah. So he's had affairs with millionaires who were Austrian, German, or Swiss. So he's got that thing. And the way it all came out is that he had an affair with the woman who's the heiress to the BMW fortune.
Ooh.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she's worth 9.5 billion euros. So she's the 68th richest person in the world. And she's in her 40s or something, married with kids. She meets him in some health spa in Austria or whatever. He hits her off with her, bang, bang, bang. One thing leads to another. He then convinces her. Now, this is the brilliant bit. He then convinces her to give him 7 million euro. 7 million euro. Now, I'm embarrassed if I was to take a girl out to ask her to pay for half the meal. Imagine, at what point do you have a conversation with someone and say you couldn't give her 7 million euro? And he convinced her that he had to pay for the medical treatments of some girl who he'd knocked over whilst on holiday in America. And she fell for it. Then she gave him 7 million euro in cash. She gave him 7 million euro at the car park of the Holiday
Inn. Stuffed it to a suitcase.
Honestly, in a box at the car park of the Holiday Inn in Munich. She gave him, I think it was Munich, but yeah, it was a Holiday Inn car park. She gave him a box of 7 million euro. Now, if that was me or you, I'd go, I think I've done well there. I'd get off.
Yeah.
What he then does is he comes back to her, tells her, why don't you leave your husband? And we set up home together. But in order for us to do that, I need you to give me 290 million. 290 million euro. To which he said, not a chance. So he said, well, you want to think about it, because all the time that we've been getting together in the Holiday Inn for a bit of radi-dadi, I've videoed it.
Oh!
So if you don't pay me, I'm going to blackmail you. I'm going to send it to your husband. It'll be all over the papers. Bah, bah, bah. So it's fair play to the girl. She's saying now she's got the police involved. The police have arrested him. There's then a litany. There's about three or four other women. One being 83 years old, who apparently he's took the odd million off. It doesn't matter, did it? And so
I'll tell you what, that's the most expensive Swiss roll she's ever had.
Love it. But then what he did, he's in court. And the thing is, he's a prodigy of another con artist who's in his 60s, who's about to go down. So it's
what did the family, does it?
Yeah, well, apparently he stood up in court and he said, look, I admit I'm guilty. I am guilty. I apologise to all the women I've seduced, to all the women I've conned, but I'm not telling you where the money is. So the judge said, well, you've got to tell us where the money is. He said, no, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you where all the millions of euros are that I've taken off the women. So he said, oh, that's wrong. I'll send you to jail for 6 years. To which he said, all right, thanks.
Fair enough.
No, I've got to be honest with you. Yeah, I'd do 6 years in jail to come out with 7 million euro. Unbelievable.
Not a bad trade, is it really?
That's just amazing. And there's a photograph of him, or there was in the papers, and where he's just stood like that, happy, you know, his arms out. He's got his suit on, a big smile, going, hey, I'm going to jail for 6 years. But when I come out, all the interest I would have accrued on the money that I've hidden.
In his Swiss bank accounts.
It's just
tax-free.
Amazing, isn't it? And that's the other thing, because he's Swiss. I think this is the thing as well, because he's put it, the way Swiss law is, you cannot investigate Swiss bank accounts. You can't. So it is hidden forever until he wants it. That's just. You can't tell me that's not a film. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's a film and a half, that one, isn't it? You know. Richard Gere could reprise his role.
Yeah. Well, this fella was. He's 47, I think he is. 47. Either he's 47 and she's 47, or one of them's 44. But it just got me as the photograph of him. He's like, he was stood in court, like he do at a concert. He should put his hands up, and yes, 6 years. Because he and the thing is, the maximum he could have gone down for was 9 years. I can't, you know, it, you do think, don't you, if you can get away with it. I haven't said that, he was greedy. He should have just knocked her on the head at the 7 million euro and walked away.
Oh, I don't know, it's like a drug. I think it become like a drug to him. You know, if you do it once, you're going to be tempted to go in there again, aren't you?
But it's that bit.
I mean, now don't forget, the euro has deflated somewhat, so maybe it's what we thought. Well, you know.
Yeah, you never know. Seven million is not going to last the way it used to. But it's just, I mean, what world do these people live in that you will give them that in cash? How do you get that out the bank? How do you just, it's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Like, I've got an account with the Building Society. I've got to phone up to get money out. And then they'll only give it to you in a cheque if it's more than 250 quid. Yeah. Imagine saying I want 7 million euro. What for? And that's the other thing. You go to the Building Society and they say, what for? Have you had that? Have you ever done that? Oh, mate. I'll tell you, the Building Society, Tabby, if you have money, do you have a Building Society? Do you have a form? And when you take money out, it's an instant saver account. When you take money out, they always say on the form, what's it for? And I've gone, well, why? Right,
for a bet.
Well, that's what I've said. I've said I'm going to spend it on prostitutes and drugs. We haven't got a box for that, so we're going to have to put one in, aren't you? That's what I'm going to spend it on. I'm going to go mad. What are you going to spend? I'm going to put it all on a horse. Just, what a ridiculous. But imagine that. What are you going to do? I'm going to give it to me lover.
Mental.
What a fantastic case. Fantastic. Anyway, we weren't talking about that, were we? That's not even on today's agenda. Today's agenda is the letter N.
Yes.
N.
For
Norman.
Neurotic.
Nice.
Nasty.
We're having a word off at the wrong time.
That comes at the wrong time, absolutely.
We haven't looked yet. We haven't looked on the internet what research has been done in our favour.
Oh, we've got some, have we?
Yeah, it's on there.
Your Geordie cousin come up with the
but he's not Geordie. No, he's from Runcorn, but he's up there living in the cold north as a student, which is interesting because he's up there doing psychology, which has got to be hard doing psychology with the Geordie, because if you never talk to a Geordie, you think you're a little bit mental anyway. Well, like, yeah, no, I don't even know why I did that.
They're not all like Jimmy Nail. The good people.
Oh, the great people. The people. Great people. Great place. Have you spent time there?
I was up there a lot one time, yeah.
Why?
And I had a girlfriend who lived up there.
That's all right. We're on N. Newcastle, so we can Newcastle? Talk about your girlfriend.
No,
who was your girlfriend?
We're not going to go there.
Yeah, who was your girlfriend? Tell me your name was Nicola. We can talk about it more.
Well, for the sake of this conversation, it can be anything you want it to
be. It was Nicola. She had nice knickers.
That's a K.
Hey! That's a word you don't hear a lot, isn't it? Knickers. What? Knickers used to be a great word.
Knickers.
Knickers. Knickers.
There's a horse called Little Knickers.
Is there? There's a horse. I won money on a horse the other day.
Really?
Not Cheltenham. The week before on... my mate texted me. Something Bishop.
Golden Bishop.
Wobbly Bishop or something.
Wobbly Bishop. Right.
Something like that.
There's quite a lot of bishops, actually.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I could easily fall into the trap.
Did it win or lose?
Came second each way. I don't know how it worked. I put £10 each way. I don't even know what the odds were. Because I don't know anything about it. And it's a horrible thing when you're in a betting shop. Because a betting shop is like a mechanics. You know, when you walk in as a man, you think you should know what you're doing. You look around and think everyone here knows what I'm doing. And I don't want to be like, excuse me, what am I putting on here? So I was watching over the shoulders of other people. And if you notice, there's no one in a betting shop who can actually write. Do you all just put like some code thing down? I don't think, can't put that down. I don't even know what it was. That's unusual, isn't it? To bet on a horse in Chinese. Because it's just scribble. And so I thought, I don't know what to do with it. So I went out on a phone with mate John. I said, what do you say? Just put the, I can't remember what it's called, Galloping Bishop or something like that. Each way, I said, okay, Galloping Bishop. And I put it in, and there was about 9 horses in the race. It wasn't a big field. And I was thinking, now I've bet on each. So when do I get paid? I know I get paid if he wins, and I have a chance if he comes second. But if he comes third, I don't want to embarrass myself by going up to the counter and the fella holding the phone will go, you don't get any money. He came third. Do you get money for third?
If there's at least 8 runners, yes.
Right.
7 runners, first or second. 8 runners to 15, first, second and third. 16 plus in the handicap, the first 4 places.
Right, well, I didn't know any of that. So I was just opening.
You should have called me, son. I would have
phoned you, but it was a 4 o'clock race, so I knew you were here with Mr. Fitzmaurice. So I thought I can't phone him.
That could have been a hot tip, that I could have been on that.
So anyway, what happened is I put a 10 at each way on, which means I handed over £20 and then stood there for a bit looking at him thinking, now what, do I give you more, do I get more? But well, so I give him the money and then I go away, and then the horse ran and it did that running thing that a horse does. That's the sound effects of a horse run. And it ran and it came second, so I knew I must be getting something, but I didn't know what. And I went straight up to him. So the horse crossed the line and just went straight up to him. He said, we haven't had the result back. I said, I've just seen it win. It's just there. And he said, no, we haven't had it here on the system. And then I could see everybody in the betting shop looking at me going, who's that idiot there? Big Nancy girl. So I stood there for like an half an hour. I'm not going back twice until I know it's definitely in. So I stood there for half an hour playing with my fingernails. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I'd done. So I even picked up the racing post at some time, which to me, the racing post may as well be the instructions for putting a Ford Cortina back together. I'm just looking at it and then what I was looking at, I go, oh, well, that looks clever. And then in the end, I went up and I gave me slip, so you'll probably be able to work the odds out. And I gave me slip, it was £10 each way, and I got £28 back.
Oh, well, you wouldn't know whether it's a handicap or not, would you? You got £28 back, you won 18 quid, so it sounds like that was about 10 to 1.
About 10 to 1?
Yeah, 8 or 10 to 1, depending on whether it's a handicap or not.
No, it's okay.
Which is not bad. That's not bad.
It's all right. That's all right. But I was like Oliver. You know, when he put it all in my hand, I was looking at him as if to say, more. Because I didn't know what the odds were right at the beginning. And the only time I've really ever won anything is when I bet on football, when Sean Wright Phillips scored a goal and won £1,000. That's what I think winning is.
I remember that.
So I don't bet on anything now. I sometimes have a bet when I go to the match with the kids, and we get one of the forms out, you know, that you can fill in, they put like a pound on for the kids, and they always say like Steven Gerrard to score Liverpool to win 10-0.
All right, we'll have a go.
So there you go. That was my whole betting experience of late. That's what you got to do, mate. You need to relax. You need to do less. Just do what I do. Bet every 3 or 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah. Instead of every 3 or 4 hours. And then if you win, you win. And if you've lost, you can forget about
it. I'm actually more tempted.
Over 4 years, I've only bet £2.50 each year.
You're probably still more than I am. I think I'll go down the gigolo path, actually.
I love that. The Witness Gigolo.
Oh, come on.
The Witness Gigolo.
Give me a pen.
That's the film.
The Witness Gigolo.
Yeah, that's the way forward.
That's the way forward.
Mate, fantastic. I could see it happening as well. You've got the looks that way. I don't know whether you go down as well in Switzerland as you would in Witness. I think the Swiss women are after a more German looking person, whereas the Witness Stonians.
But you see, they've been stung now, so they'll be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, they'll be stung. They'll be looking for someone soft to put their arm around them and say,
I mean, we've
here,
saved the Swiss before, we can go in there and save them again.
Yeah. That's good.
What do you reckon?
Tell you what, makes you wonder though, doesn't it?
There'll be a special edition Toblerone named after me one day.
Yeah, the Robert Toblerone. It'll be massive. In fact, it won't be a bar. It'll just be one giant triangle, just like a little pyramid.
That's where he's hid his money. It's in bars of Toblerone. No one ever buys it.
No one ever buys it. No, it's all hidden.
He's invested his cash in Toblerone, especially the white stuff.
This is what I mean. Like, everyone keeps on wondering how the drugs are getting into this country. I'm thinking, look at the size of them bars of chocolate. No one, there's not chocolate in there. They're carrying
lethal weapons.
They are. They're huge. Anyway, should we have a break before we proceed any further?
I think
because
we should.
I can feel, and although we've been talking about the Swiss gigolo, perhaps not the right phrase, but I can feel a frog in my throat and I'm really bursting for a cough. So this is John Bishop, Calvin Roberts, the Alphabet Soup on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool and surrounding areas.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9. The City Surgery. Weekdays at 12 PM on City Talk 105.9.
Hi, Colin.
Me nan. She passed away in 1993. Now she appointed a firm of solicitors to deal with their probate. It was the house she had, she left, put into the names of the solicitors who dealt with the case. The solicitors actually went out of business and one of the guys died. How do we go about getting the deeds changed into our names?
The solicitor's just running a trust.
Yeah.
Alright, so they don't own it at all. Far from it. So they're simply the trustees of the trust that's looking after the property. Do you know which firm has actually taken over the running of...
Yeah, it's a firm in Liverpool City Centre.
Okay, well, the simple answer is you contact that firm because they will have taken over all of that business, you see.
All right.
And they will be effectively the trustees of that will. They might not know it, but technically speaking, they're the trustees, especially if all that business is gone. Just because someone has died from that firm of solicitors does not mean that they're no longer the trustees.
The City Surgery. Your problems solved. City Talk 105.9.
At Tile World, we can make your dreams come true. With tiles for every room and every budget. All on display at our outstanding showrooms in Liverpool, Warrington, Bromborough and Birkenhead. And the Tile World price guarantee means you can buy with confidence, with discounts of up to 50% off. See for yourself at tileworlduk.com or call us today on 0151 933 6767. Tile World. Welcome to the world of tiles.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
Bloke Talk is one of those rare things on the radio where it actually does what it says on the tin. It's blokes talking about stuff. Stuff like this.
what you think is legitimate for the number of times you can wear something with no wash. See, I do it twice with a shirt. Mm. What do you reckon?
Well, boxer shorts.
Yeah, no, boxers once.
Okay, you can put them on, okay, one day. Then for the next day, you just turn them around, right? And then you can get a third day out of it if you turn it inside out.
And then inside out and back to front as
yeah,
well.
4 days.
Yeah, okay.
So join us every weekend here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9 for Bloke Talk.
The right car, the right price. Motor Range.
I do a lot of miles, so I wanted something comfortable. At Motor Range, I got a 56-plate Vectra CDTI exclusive for just $4,995.
I didn't think I could afford a BMW till I went to Motor Range. I got a beautiful 56-plate new 3 Series for $8,595.
The right car, the right price.
End of the M57 Switch Island, A59 Northway.
Motor Range.
The Collins Touch.
I'm Larry Neal. Join me from 12 o'clock every Sunday for our weekly look at politics and politicians. I'll update you on what our local MPs are up to in Westminster. And I'll be throwing the spotlight on my guests when I take the Speaker's chair to find out what makes them tick. And I'll look at how the big political issues are affecting us in Liverpool and the rest of our region. That's the Collins Touch on City Talk 105.9.
The Collins Touch.
Sunday at midday.
On City Talk 105.9.
It's the weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
I'm leaving that in.
Oh, God, I'm glad I got that out. You know, you sometimes feel sort of the back of your throat just tickling. Just your epiglottis, that little thing, just tickling. Tickle, just like a little gremlin tickling. That's what that was. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back. It's John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. This is the Alphabet Soup. We were talking. In fact, I don't even know if we've started yet on the letter N, on what this show is meant to be about. Because in all honesty, this show, as it stands, is me and you having a random gab. And I think, you know, for the sake of the listener, we need to get some focus here, son.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think so.
I'm all ears.
All the feedback that I'm getting.
Yeah?
I'm not getting any feedback, actually, are you?
Not a great deal. Although I do speak to people on the tours.
Oh, yeah, do you? Yeah. What do they say, the people on the tours?
Well, they love you.
Yeah, go ahead.
They love you. They love the big bird, Duncan Barks. They're always asking about Pricey, you know, yeah, any sins.
Pricey's a legend, isn't he?
Mm.
Pricey's the legend.
Pricey's many things.
No, I'll tell you what, he interviewed Melanie for his show. Oh, Melanie, my wife, Melanie.
Oh, that Melanie?
Yeah.
Your first and second wife, Melanie?
My first and second wife, Melanie, yeah.
Any chance you could talk to the microphone for us?
Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to log on to... Somebody's made the effort to try and do something for us. I was trying to log on to it. No, he interviewed there about me.
Mm.
And was good enough to send a CD of it. Because I was working, so I didn't hear it. Very interesting listening to someone talking about you to someone else. Very, very interesting.
Did she say anything that you didn't know?
Or
anything that surprised you?
She did mention she was leaving me, which surprised me. I thought that's not the best way of telling me, is it? No, it was good. She didn't say a lot that surprised me. It's just odd when you hear someone that you know in a different way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You know, you heard someone on the radio. It's just odd because she didn't sound as much like her as she normally does.
Right.
I don't know if that made any sense.
Did this go out on air?
Yeah, it went out on air. It was a great interview. She was talking about the fact that we always argue because we live in Manchester and I don't want to live there. I want to live here. So we have that argument about once a week. we had it this week because my youngest lad Daniel was off school, and he started, of all the things on this planet to have, he started getting what I would regard as a Manc accent.
Now I have nothing
against regional accents, and I have nothing against the people from Manchester. I'm married one, so I own one. So I've got, you know, I have nothing against that. But I can't have the accent in my house. I just can't have it. It's a little... And what it is, he's lazy. He's not lazy. He's a lovely kid, but he's got a lazy way of talking. And he's... and he does... It's like that. And I'm going, open your mouth. And I had to say to him, I said, you're beginning to sound like a monk. What do you mean? I said, you're beginning to sound like a monk. And if you sound like a monk, I'm not going to take you to the match. And he went, all right. That's what he said, because they're brilliant at mimicking me. All right, yeah, all right.
But surely, if you're living in a certain area, then your offspring will start to...
I don't want to talk.
It's like my niece and nephew live in Australia sound like, you know, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's all right, because that's Australia.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just an accent, you know.
I know it's just an accent.
You throw them in the mix, and he's going to school with all these Mancunians. He's going out of a Mancunian.
I know.
His mum's a Mancunian.
I know, but Melly's not a Manc, you know what I mean? Like you can be from Liverpool, you don't sound like me. It's not something that I've consciously tried to do, it's just who you are, and I would rather, if I could be honest, I would rather my accent not be as strong as it is.
Aye.
But it is what it is, and I like the northern accent where it's fairly neutral. That's what I want my kids to have, because then they're not going to get the problems that you get where people judge you straight away by the way you speak. And you can get judged on many respects, and if you've got a Scouse accent, you're judged on the fact that people think, oh, he's a bit of a lad, and then they think, oh, but he might be a bit funny, and he can probably sing. Now, I can't sing, but, you know, you could get away with the rest of it. But a Manc accent, you listen to that and you just think, oh, you do think, I can't think of anything positive about it. It sounds terrible. It sounds awful. I can't believe I'm saying this. But do you know what I mean? I can't think of anything where I go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm glad. do you know what I mean? Like, even the Geordie accent, lovely accent,
love
Irish,
it.
Lovely accent. Even East End Cockney, or my son, I don't mind that. But Brummie, Birmingham, it's like that advert, you know, the stroke advert where they've got a fire on their head and then half the face goes tired. That's what everyone in Birmingham's like when they talk, with half the face tired. If anyone puts their hand on the face and rubs it down so that half it's hanging down, that's how you sound like a Brummie.
That's horrible, that.
Alright.
Oh.
I know what I mean. I'm
looking at your face then.
When you put it down, alright.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So I'm not...
You're not like John Sargent for a minute then.
I'm not, look, I met him.
You met him?
I met him, yeah. Oh. That was an odd thing. He's an odd man. He's a very odd man. Funny, but I met him. I did a run-through for that show that he does, Argumental, where you go down and he sort of wants us to practice things. So I said, all right, I'll come down and do it. And he's just there, and he's like your bumbling uncle. He's just more... And I asked him about the Strictly Come Dancing, and he goes, well, no. I said, that's how he spoke. Someone that posh, you can't understand. That's what he's like. Anyway, kiddo, the letter N.
Yes.
Of which this show is apparently based around. What's he come up with? Blinkin' heck, he's come up with some baloney.
So this is... That's a lot of work he's done this week. Ninja.
It looks like a lot of work. It's called cut and paste.
Yeah. Is it all Wikipedia stuff, is it?
In Japanese history, a ninja is a warrior trained in a variety of unorthodox arts of war. Yeah. They include assassination, espionage, and various martial arts. To be fair, that is one of the things you don't ever see advertised. Innit?
What, ninjas?
Yeah, do you want to come and be a ninja? It's not something you can... You know what I mean? Like, you can go to a kung fu class, can't you? Or a karate class. Or even this Krav Maga, which is this Israeli thing. You can go to anything. Can't go to ninja class. Can you?
Well, yeah, but...
Well, where's a ninja class?
Well, they probably don't have the kind of money, bitch, to go out and advertise on, like, TV and radio. Find them in the Yellow Pages.
No way.
If you wanted to set
you
up...
tell me now, if you went on here, there'd be ninja class.
I'm sure you'd find something somewhere.
No way.
I'm not saying on the ninja, but there'd be all kinds of... I mean,
there's martial arts.
There's hundreds of them.
But
ninja. Is that where they wear the black cloaks over the faces?
It's weird, yeah, you can only see their eyes and they're supposed to move around sound. And I'd love that. Imagine me and you turn up at a ninja class. Yeah, we've just come to have a go. Just want to jump through the air like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear. Did they teach you that to float through the air? Do you think that's just special effects?
Oh, no, that's real, that. It's a true story.
What is?
They're floating through the air. It is brilliant. It is brilliant the way they've started doing that. But I remember seeing a musical where Danny Kane ran up a wall and did a somersault. What was that? I can't remember, but he was singing a song, make him laugh. Then he runs up a wall, 1 foot, 2 foot, and then jumps over and does a somersault.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what I mean? You've seen people do it now in hip-hop videos and all the rest. So it's a trick. It's not a trick. It's a real, genuine ability. You can do it. And I remember as a kid seeing that on the telly thing, I'd love to have a go at that. Mm. I love to. Now I look at the kids now, you see Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or all of these films now where someone jumps through the air and they actually float in slow motion and twist and turn and all. They've got no chance of doing that. But kids being kids will try. Because I tried to run up a wall. I tried to do what Danny Kane did. I did. 3 times I had to go. I only tried it 3 times. There was a park. Come out of my mum's house, turn to the right, go down. There's a park and there was a wall. And I tried it. And the first time, I got 1 foot up and then I slipped against the wall. And the second time, I got 2 foot up, but my bottle went. Mm. My bottle went and I don't know. Because all you got to do is throw yourself back. That's what I did the third time. I threw myself back. But I obviously hadn't learned various things like, what do you do then to land on your feet? So I just ran, jumped at a wall and just jumped back, landed on the back of my head, lying on the floor thinking, I'm never going to be able to do that. That was heartbreaking. But at least I had a go. How do you cope with when you're 7 or 8 like I was then, trying to jump through the air in slow motion? They're never going to do it. You're going to get kids going too fast. Just do it again. Do it again.
It's the same with The Matrix. You can't dodge bullets. The Matrix. You're like, ooh, you know. What's all that about?
The Matrix dodging bullets. Yeah. Which is, you can't be. You get kids with pea shooters finding their other kids and them leaning back and popping eyes out and all that stuff. Mm. So, dangerous thing. So, Ninja's not something, we've never met one, we don't know any.
Would you class Jean-Claude Van Damme as a ninja?
No.
Oh, that's all right then.
Jean-Claude Van Damme apparently claimed to have been in the final of the Karate World Championships, didn't he? But he never was.
It's hokum.
It's hokum, isn't it?
It's hokum. And if you look at any of his sites, he claims to be 5'10". If he's 5'10", I'm a Chinese fisherman.
5'10".
I met him in Cannes a few years ago.
No way. Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
And he's the smallest person. He's like young.
But what was he like?
He was a nice chap, but he seemed a bit not all there. I think he'd been on the old Jack Daniels and Coke, because it was on some boat, and it was really bizarre, because we went onto this boat and expecting, like, you know, a mass of people, and it was just him. He was just sat there watching the TV on this boat. I went with a chap who used to work here called Joe Ferguson, and we did the show with him over there. And it's about 5 years ago this now. And we met one or two, like, names, but he's the smallest person I've ever seen. He's really, really small.
Why is it that film stars are small?
I don't know.
Tom Cruise is small, isn't he?
Well, the thing is, you know he's small. I mean, if you saw Tom, you think, he's a small chap, but we know you're small. But you see someone like Jean-Claude, who's, like, kicking people around and jumping up and down and doing somersaults, and he's about 5'2", 5'3".
No way.
Honestly, he's that small. He's like, up to the top of my shoulder. And I'm not up top.
Is he fit?
I didn't fancy him.
Does he look like he can do what it looks like he can do?
Yeah, he's the muscles from Brussels, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know. Oh, God, yeah. You know. I certainly wouldn't have picked a fight with him, but small chap. Could have been a ninja.
Could have been a ninja. You know what I mean? Could have been a ninja. A little ninja.
Little ninjas.
Yeah, little ninja. Because they'd be even scarier, little ninjas. Like you do, because when you look at ninjas, if they're ever on the telly, they're not the big, not like bouncers, you know, like big giant bouncers. They don't come lumbering in. They're always little, and that's because everyone knows little people are scary people. Everyone knows that. Nicknames of monarchs. Nicknames. Where did you put that in? Nicknames.
Nicknames of who?
Of monarchs. And other royalty, or Fat Billy was William Augustine, Duke of Cumberland. Stupid Willie was Wilhelm II of Germany. Randy Andy for Andrew, Prince Andrew.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
And Flat Nose for Kettle of Man. Old Norse. Oh, we had that discussion, didn't we? Flat Nose for the name of Witness.
Wide nose,
yeah. Well, I come from that kettle of man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's come up with some strange research this week, hasn't he?
Yes. Well, you don't know what he's been eating, do you? A pen name. Oh, I didn't know that. Charles Dodgson is actually Lewis Carroll.
No.
Lewis Carroll, yeah.
Who wrote the famous...
Lewis Carroll.
I didn't realise people that far back actually changed their name.
Yeah, well, why would you do that? Well, Thingo did, didn't she? George Eliot. George Eliot was a woman. But women would never get published. So she sent all the stuff off as George Eliot.
I never knew that.
Didn't you?
The show is an education.
Oh, mate, it's fantastic.
I'm telling you. Lewis Carroll, wasn't he? He was born in Dursby, wasn't he?
Yeah, there's a church. You should go. Brilliant. There's a church.
Yeah, I've been inside it.
Oh, if you go in... There's, in the stained glass, there's characters out of Alice in Wonderland. In the stained glass, like the Mad Hatter and the rabbits and Alice. I mean, you can see Jesus looking at them going, like, I went through a lot to be in this window. You know what I mean? Every other church, you give me a bit of respect. I've got rabbits running around my feet here and a giant egg in the corner. I'm not sure JC's that happy about the arrangement, to be honest with you.
He's not buried there, though, is he?
Jesus, no. I don't know where he's buried. Lewis Carroll. I don't know. No, I think he's buried in Oxford.
Yeah.
But he went to school there. There's a little school which is still open.
Where?
As you drive. Little village. Yeah. Lovely. Really, really nice. Really nice.
He passed it on the way to Creamfields now. That's respectful, isn't it?
Well, yeah, where's Creamfields?
Creamfields is, it is Dursby now. It's kind of like at the back end of Runcorn.
Is it on again this year?
It's on every year, isn't
Mate,
it?
Mate, I'm fast all that. I can't be doing that. Standing in a field with loads of strangers. I can't be doing that. You go, don't you? You're into all that housey-mousey stuff.
I didn't go last year. I think I've actually shown my age now, but I used to enjoy it years ago. You know.
Yeah.
I was always tempted to take my own tent one year and just set up my own little disco in the tent and have my own, you know, just as a bit of a Mickey take.
just put
a tent in the middle, just like... invite people into my two-man tent.
What would you call it? The Robin's Romper. Come in, it's KR, it's the... Come in for a bit of KR hour. A bit of KR time. He's done something here on noses.
Right,
the wet nose of dogs. Now, this is interesting.
You've got a dog.
I have. The wet nose of dogs is useful for the perception of direction. I'm not that sure about that. It says here that because the nose is cold and wet, the dog gets a sense of which way it's going. How does that work?
Being dragged along on its lead.
Because that's stupid. Because if you look up from its nose, it's got these two eyes. Won't that tell it where it's going? It is funny though in our house because the dog, Melanie did steak the other day. And because we're vegetarian, we don't often have steak in the house. Mm. You know, the kids have chicken and fish and all the other stuff. But steak's just not something that we have all the time. And And you could see the dog. The dog just didn't know what on earth was going on. He was just lifting his nose up to it because he could smell it, but he didn't know where it was coming from because he can't work out that the oven makes stuff. And he could just smell this stuff in the house. And I've never seen a dog salivate and just go crazy. And he was literally trying to jump up and find whatever this smell was. It was brilliant, brilliant.
You ever seen that film, Shirley Valentine?
Yeah.
Do you remember the neighbour had this dog? It was a very funny scene. It was like an Italian bloodhound. And they were feeding it muesli.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she gave him some meat.
She gave him his steak. Feeding him muesli.
Mate, you get that. He's a vegetarian dogs. Have you ever heard that? He's so ridiculous in all your life. He's done something else here. Natural selection. Natural selection.
That to me is a chocolate box.
Yeah. Big review about all that, isn't it? Charles Darwin's back on the agenda.
Well, what's he done now?
Well, no, it was just a big. Is it 100 years or 200 years or 500 years or whatever it is? It can't be 500 years, can it? It's 250 years or whatever it is since he set off on the voyage. Oh, in fact, yeah, there's the thing. 1859, he wrote the book.
Oh, yeah, with all the animals and stuff.
With all the animals and stuff. That changed the course of history. That educated the world towards a scientific solution to understanding our own ability to survive on this
planet. Okay, what was the island he went to then?
The animals and stuff.
What was the island?
The Galapagos Island.
Only because he's wrote it down there.
It's not written down there. Is it written down there? No, it's not written down there. You know why? You know why and all that? Because it's a great word, Galapagos.
It is actually a good word.
Oh, it's a brilliant word.
We didn't think of that back in G, did we?
No, we didn't think of that.
Let's go back to this after the break.
All right. Well, after the break, we've got one more thing from the hungry students in Newcastle. and then we'll have a word off, and then we'll wrap up this, to be honest with you, very, very bouncy show this week. I think we've had a bit more energy than we've had in other weeks. And I've quite enjoyed sitting here rambling. How entertaining it's been for anyone else is completely someone else's judgment. But we're here. It's John Bishop. It's Kelvin Roberts. It is the Alphabet Soup. And it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
And surrounding areas.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9. Margie Clark on City Talk 105.9.
I was trying to impress everyone at Coronation Street with how professional I am. So now here I am, really paying attention. And I had to get up dead early in the morning, so I stayed a night over in Manchester. Goes to bed early, set the alarm clock. Next performance, I'm asleep. I dives up out the bed. Alarm goes off, I dives up, legging it round the room, getting ready, goes out into the street, and so I legs it round, and I thought, where's the people, where's the cars, it's pitch black, I thought the apocalypse had happened, and no one had told me, and when I got to the gates of Coronation Street, there was a great big chain around it, I thought, so what's this, still in me nicey,
no.
Rollers in me head, script in me hand, ready to rock. Well, the cocky watchman comes out with the torch, and he went to me, Maggie, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. So have you been drinking?
Margie Clark, Saturday night at 10 on City Talk 105.9. Lock up your sons. Here come the girls. Here come the girls.
On this week's Girl Talk, the Vatican has announced that the humble washing machine has done more for women's lib than the contraceptive pill. We reveal which inventions we couldn't and wouldn't live without. And us girls are beating unemployment by getting bigger boobs. Can the size of your cleavage really enhance your job prospects? Ooh, hello, boss.
Girl Talk with Kim Hughes. Saturday night at 9. Here comes the girl. On City Talk 105.9. The City Surgery. Weekdays at 12 p.m. on City Talk 105.9.
Mark is in Wrexham.
What it is, I'm a football referee. For the past few weeks now, I've had a pain the side of my ankle.
Ah, right.
And it's like two little lumps. Do you know where the bone is by the knee?
I do,
just below it. That's not hurting as much. It's the actual bottom tattooing my foot, which I'm getting pinged.
So what you've got, Mark, is pretty common for footballers, and it's from a twisting motion.
Right.
So you know when you're refereeing and the ball's been kicked and you twist your body,
yeah,
but your feet have stayed still, then that motion is actually pulling on the internal ligaments of your ankle.
Yeah.
If you can, if you're not asthmatic and if you haven't got any stomach problems, is to take ibuprofen.
Right, okay.
You need to take one tablet three times a day, about 400 milligrams. It's not only a good painkiller, but it will help as an anti-inflammatory and reduce the inflammation on your tendon sheath.
The City Surgery. Your problems solved. City Talk 105.9. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
We're back, we're back. We've got one thing to talk about, sent to us by the students, and I think it's an important thing that Lee sent through. It's an important thing because it is the decade that counted.
I like this one.
It is the 90s.
Brilliant.
That's the thing that begins with then, the 90s. Why do you like it?
Well, because I was in my 20s in the 90s, and they were good days. Did a bit of travelling, found love, found money, found horses, found work, found myself.
I tell you what, if you put all that in one sentence, found love, found money, found horses.
Are you trying to impersonate my accent?
Well, like no, I'm just saying, you know, I wouldn't say you love horses. I love horses. no, perfect. And that's when we grew up. And that was a great time. I mean, you were in your 20s. What was I?
Well, you're not that far ahead of me, are you?
I was in my 30s then. No, we're 20s, 30s. When did I turn 30? I turned 30 in 96.
Oh, there you go. So you've had a bit of both.
I've had a bit of both, yeah.
20s and 30s.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Great times.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's things like it's got here. It's unbelievable. Personal computers came everywhere. The internet happened. What else has he got?
Did you know the internet was invented in the 1950s? Didn't we know it'd take a few years to come into, fruition?
What happened?
Well, it was used as an internal thing for the US Army. And then it obviously just developed. But that is exactly what the internet was used for. Anyway, there you go. That's for another day.
Mm. But the channel across the English Channel opened in 1994. God, can you imagine that not being there now?
I will have been through it, so it's made no difference to my
life. Oh, mate, it's great. Oh, you got to do it.
I will do it.
I think everyone's got to do it once. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. You get on this train and you get off in France.
Really?
And it goes dark for a bit. Apart from that, there's not a lot to say. But it takes ages. You get on it and you think it's going to go dark straight away. You're going to hit the zone. But you're on it for about 40 minutes. Then it goes dark. It's dark. And then you're out because the channel's only 30 miles long. You're out dead quick. And then you're on it for another hour before you get to Paris.
Is it a toll? Has the train got to stop to put some money in?
Yeah. I mean, the train's got to slow down to allow all the asylum seekers to walk past on the lines. But imagine that happened in 1994. There you go. So that was the letter N. I think it's time, would you not say, Mr. Roberts, to have a quick, sharp word off. We all had a little bit at the beginning, and I don't think you stand the chance this week, because N is in the realms of where the bish is the strongest.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then we should put a theme to this. I reckon we either go for films or we go for football teams.
Well, let's go for films then. There's not that many football teams, I know that.
Okay.
Unless you want to go to football teams, it's up to you. But once you've gone to Norwich, Nottingham Forest...
Northampton Town?
Nuneaton.
Nuneaton, let's stick to films then.
Naples. Go on, Napoli, go on.
Okay, so films, 3, 2, 1.
Is it my go first?
Always.
I think I've won. Oh no.
Somebody's going to win already.
Oh, no, you can't win it on that. Let me think of a film. I haven't even got my head around a film.
I'll go first then. Nemo.
Nemo?
Nemo.
Oh, God. Night in a Museum.
Okay. 1983.
That's a number.
It's a film also.
But it's not written. It's written as a number.
Yeah, but...
You can't turn a number into a word because it begins with N.
Of course you can.
No, you can't. That's cheating.
It's not cheating at all. It's still...
It is.
It's not.
This is actually harder than I thought.
This is terrible. I can't think of a single film. No. You've won. I can't be bothered. I cannot think
of it. Let's go for number one. Let's go for number one.
Can you think of another film,
no,
though?
No, I can't.
That's terrible. All right, let's...
I thought there might be one about Nuremberg, but then I'm probably just...
I know, there'll be loads of film, but it always has it or something at the beginning, doesn't it? All right, let's go for the normal. Let's hit it. You ready?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Nuremberg.
Nano.
Neurotic.
Nappy.
Nightingale.
Naughty.
Nap.
Napping.
Newest.
Nettles.
Nightfall? I just said that.
Okay, Night Owl.
Not.
No, what?
Well, not
anything. You can't just say not. I go, no. and then you go, nah. Yeah, nah is a word. That's all my 14-year-old says to me when I say anything. Nah.
Your turn.
I've just done nah.
All right, nettle.
I've just done nettle.
Nest.
New year.
Napkin.
You've won. I can't be bothered. Let's just play bingo. Let's just have the happiest record in the world.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girl? A little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. He'll clap his hands, sing and dance, and talk his baby talk. With a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?